This is our month of advancement, and this month we would be doing a teaching series titled Go Forward. Go Forward. Are we ready this morning? Shall we pray? Father, we say thank you. We exalt your name. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding. Lord, we pray you will speak to us this morning. You will help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So like I said, we begin a new series titled Go Forward. Go what? Forward. Go forward. Go forward. And I'm speaking this morning, part one, on your bold move. Your bold move. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 to 16. How many of you were blessed by the revival nights? Yes. Amazing. Revival night, for those who are wondering, that's our first Friday of every month. We come here, we pray together and commit the month into the hands of God. We are refreshed. We are ready to go and just receive and lay claim of everything the Lord has prepared for us in the month. It's a time of prayer. So I want to encourage you to join us every first Friday of the month as we pray together. Exodus 14, verse 15 to 16. Exodus 14, 15 to 16 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.'" They shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Some years ago, I got a used car from one of these online marketplaces. It's a popular one. I got a used car. It's a Volkswagen Jetta. White. Volkswagen Jetta, white car. And I had arranged with the guy to meet me at a gas station. So we came to the gas station. Someone brought him. Someone also took me there. And I hopped in the car. You know, let's drive it at least. Make sure it can drive from here to there. So I got in the car, drove the car around and all that. And then we came back, signed the papers, everything, paid him, and he was off. So I told him to park next to the pump so I could get some gas. So he parked by the pump. When he left, I bought some gas into the car. I got in the car. I said, let me go. Now, it's a stick shift. Stick shift. No, I can drive stick shift. I can. Some of you that got your license with automatic, you need to go back and they need to retest you. I can drive stick shift. So I got in the car, started the car. Let's go. I put the car in the first gear and it was going back. No joke. I had someone there that took me there. I tried it again. The car was going back. And at the point, I was thinking to myself, this must be one of the biggest scams in history. Because the guy drove the car. I was in there when he drove. He drove me around. The car moved. I got in there. I kept on going in the first gear. He kept on going back. So I was there for like 30 minutes. Then all of a sudden, I put it in gear again. And then it moved forward. Now, it's a used car. The label on the gear had faded. So I couldn't see. So it's one of those cars that the reverse, one of those cars, the reverse is in front. It's not in the back. Do you understand? It's not in the back. So each time I, tried to go back, I was going to the fourth gear. So I put it, and all of a sudden, it entered the first gear this time around. And then I figured out that the reverse was in front. Never driven such car before. Of course, that was the last time I drove stick shift or bought or bought anything. What? Stick shift. Stick shift. What do you do when you really want to go forward and you find yourself going backwards? You want to go forward, but it's like there are things holding you down, preventing you from going forward. you keep finding yourself going where? Going backwards. You know, the children of Israel, they had just left Egypt. And God showed up for them supernaturally. They saw him split the seas. He made a way for them to walk on dry ground. They saw the hand of God. They progressed. This was something that they wanted. And I'm telling you, it's a great thing for you to pray to God for progress. And you see that happen. It's a thing of joy. And the reason is because God has designed you for progress. God has designed you for what? For progress. He has designed you for advancement. Genesis chapter 1 verse 8. If you read the book, if you read Genesis chapter 1, the interesting thing about that verse is this. Up until verse 28, the scripture would say, and God said, let there be, and there was. And God said, let there be, and there was. And God said, let there be, and there was. And for the first time here in verse 28, we see something different. It says, then God blessed them. The first time we hear God proclaiming a blessing, it was on man. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God proclaimed a blessing of fruitfulness on man. He proclaimed a blessing of multiplication up until dominion. Now, you may see this and say, you know what? This only has to do with childbirth and population. No. Your life is meant to be fruitful in every area. The Lord says it will bless the works of your hands and make it what? Fruitful. Your life is designed to be fruitful. The Lord has given you gifts, and with those gifts, you are meant to reproduce and multiply. God wants you to grow. Stagnation is not God's intention for you. No. Average is not God's intention for you. No. Jesus saw a fig tree at a point when he was walking. He saw the tree, expected the tree to be fruitful. But because the tree produced no fruit, it cursed the tree. And you and I, the scripture says that the righteous is a tree of life. The righteous shall produce a tree of life. We are meant to be what? To be fruitful and not stagnant. Thank you, Lord. So one of the most important stories in the Bible is the crossing of the Red Sea. God miraculously split the seas for the children of Israel. But just before that happened, we're going to go back a little bit. Exodus 14 verse 8. Something interesting occurred. Exodus 14 verse 8 says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. With boldness. Why boldness? Of everything to live with. Why boldness? And I'm going to tell you the reason why. If you go to chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 7. Exodus 3, verse 7, in there we see God speaking to Moses. It says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. The key word there is the word oppression. It says, I have seen the oppression of my children. Let me tell you what oppression means. I picked this up from a dictionary. Says, oppression is the unfair and cruel treatment of individuals and or nations, which prevents them from having the same opportunities, freedom, and rights as others. The unfair and cruel treatment of individuals, or in their own case, a nation. Now, you may not understand, but think about it. The children of Israel, they were in captivity for 400 years. Four centuries. 400 years. They've never known what freedom felt like. For some of them, they were born into oppression, and they also died oppressed. Never tasted what freedom was like. They had the taskmasters who were the oppressors, ensuring that they continue to know that they are slaves. They owned nothing. They owned nothing. Exodus 3 verse 21, in there the scripture says that the Lord told them that I would not let you go empty-handed, because they had nothing. They couldn't eat the same food as the Egyptians. They couldn't live in the same place. They didn't have the same benefits. They didn't have the same medical care. They were oppressed. They were enslaved for 400 years. All they had known, all they had known was shame. All they had known was bitterness, embarrassments, beating here and there. Every generation that existed, all through the 400 years. So it wasn't a thing of, you know what, oh, our children, oh, things will be better. No, the children also went through the same thing. Oh, our grandchildren. No, the grandchildren also went through the same thing. Oppressed for 400 years. Think about that. Not for 4 years. Not for 40 days. But 400 years. So if there was anything they needed to live with, it is boldness. They had zero confidence in themselves. They had zero boldness. They had nothing. When God now spoke to Moses and he told him to go tell them that I would rescue them from this oppression, the Lord had to give Moses three different signs. Because Moses said, these people, they may not believe me when I go there. The Lord said, don't worry, I will give you, show them the sign. If this doesn't work, show them the second one. If the second one doesn't work, show them the third one. You know, there's a way you've been so imprisoned that when they open the gates for you, you will say, you know what, there's an invisible gate there somewhere. I just can't see it. I'm just being deceived. So the Lord had to give Moses three signs, and it was after he showed them those three signs that they believed that God was here to do what? To actually bring freedom to them. And you may be here this morning, and in some form, you are in Egypt. Not this physical Egypt. Your own Egypt could be the negative words and the things that have been said to you over the years that keep replaying themselves. Your own Egypt could be someone at work oppressing you, or some politics happening there preventing you from being promoted. Your own Egypt could be family members, those who you expect to support you, but in a way they are the ones pulling you back from advancing. But guess what? This is the good news. The children of Israel, they left with boldness. Where did they get that from? What gave them that boldness? They had seen God work signs through Moses. They saw him bring plagues upon the Egyptians. And while they were in there, that same God separated them and ensured the plague did not get on them. They had seen his power. They had seen his might. They had seen his work, his wonders. And those things that they had seen, the things they saw, they were enough for them to say, you know what? We will leave this place with what? With confidence. Knowing that the same God that did all those things is also with us as we go forward. So for you, you may be thinking to yourself, okay, how do I go forward? Where do I get this boldness from? Has God done anything for you ever? Has he? Has he done it? No, I'm looking for hands. Is there anything at all? Even if it's not recent, has he done anything at all? If you're not sure, I know what he has done for you. Today, he woke you up this morning and you're here. So what you do is you look at the things he has done for you, and those things, even if it's one, it's enough to give you boldness to forge ahead. It's enough to what? Give you the boldness you need to go ahead. Testimonies. You know what they are? Testimonies. They are reports. They are reminders of God's what? Goodness. There's a song. When I think of the goodness of Jesus. If you don't know, you just listen. I'll sing it for you. And all he has done for me, my very soul will shout hallelujah. Praise God for saving. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, that's why the Lord says, count your blessings. No miracle is too small. No testimony is too small. They saw what the Lord had done. And the people that had been in shame and embarrassment under the oppression of the enemy for 400 years, all of a sudden they left with boldness. They left with boldness. The boldness of the Lord is resting upon you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, the boldness that you need to go forward will rest upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, another interesting thing about the Israelites, you know, I just love the Israelites. Another interesting thing about them is this. The same Exodus 14. Now we go in two verses after verse 8. Exodus 14, verse 10. It now says that, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Guess what? Verse 8. They left with what? Verse 10. They were so what? What happened? They left with boldness. And now they're so what? They're so afraid. So afraid. And you know, there are times when that kind of thing happens, where you come to church on a Sunday like this, for example, and you live with confidence, you live with boldness. Oh, that word of the Lord, that's it. That's exactly what I needed. The Lord has heard me. He has touched me. And you get home, you open your door, and the first thing you see is Egypt. The first thing you hear is Egypt. You get to work on Monday, the first thing that comes your way is Egypt. And the fear just comes back again. That boss that oppressed you all last week, and now you're going with confidence, you get to work, and that's the first face you see. That's the first thing that hits you. Oh, you are happy, you know, to go ahead and then, you know, apply again and try again. And then the first thing you see, even before you apply for another one, is a rejection in your email. It was like they were waiting on for Monday morning, you know, to just send that thing. Then you're hit with that. What got them afraid? When they lifted their eyes, they saw the Egyptians coming their way. So you must be careful what you set before you. When you lift your eyes, what do you see? Do you see your issues? Do you see your challenges? When you lift your eyes, what do you see? Do you see Egypt? Do you see the problems? When you lift your eyes, what you should see is Jesus. When you lift your eyes, what you should see is victory. The scripture says in the book of Psalms, chapter 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Let me tell you something. Everyone sets something before them. Hebrews 12:2 in there, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus, he set something before him. What have you set before you? What have you set before yourself? Because what you ultimately see is what you set before yourself. Is it failure you've set before yourself? Is it rejection you've set before yourself? Is it impossibilities that you've set before yourself? What you set is what you will ultimately see. So the scripture says, the psalmist says that I have set the Lord always, not when things are good, in all seasons, I have set him before me, and I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Stop looking behind you. Don't bother about what Egypt is doing. Don't bother about who is coming behind you. You bother about where the Lord is taking you. Something interesting about the Egyptians is this. They also said they missed. At some point when you read the scriptures in there, they said that they missed the stake. Right? They missed the stake in Egypt. Because they were complaining, this manna that we've been eating. Moses, what's going on now? At least in Egypt, they were giving us, you know, they missed the stake. You know, there's a saying which is quite popular. You know, we talk about the good old days, right? You know, the good old days. And the thing about the good old days is that we like to compare now with, you know, with the past. So, you know, one beautiful thing about our church is that this is a multi-generational church. We have boomers here, we have millennials, we have Gen Zs, we even have the alphas. So it's a good thing about our church. So if I begin to play, you know, like my own parents now, they're in the boomer generation. If I begin to play songs from like the 70s and the 80s, right? You know, for the boomers in here, you will see the way they will be dancing. You know, they'll be so excited. They'll be so happy. Ah, the good old days. Ah, those songs. You know, they'll be seeing themselves in those places. They will just, you know, it just brings them so much joy. If you begin to play some songs from the 90s now, or, you know, early 2000s, you see, you know, all the millennials were like, ah, yeah, that's it. Ah, yeah, that's it. You know. If they played, you know, the songs of like the Gen Zs, and they played for we millennials, well, what's that? What kind of music? What are they singing these days? Every generation is looking at the next thing. What are they singing? We can't even hear what they are saying. What are they singing this day? I find myself doing that now. You know, I hear some songs, I'm like, what is this now? What is this? What is this? The good old days. We love the good old days. But let me tell you something. The good old days can't be compared to the great new days that are ahead. Can't be. They can't be. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. The New Living Translation, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, the NLT. In there it says, do we have it? It says, don't long for the good old days. This is not what? Wise. I love that. Yes, I went to dig that translation for you. Don't long for the what? The good old days. This is not what? Wise. This is not wise. The Lord is doing a new thing. The Lord is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. Yes, no matter how good those days were, there are great days ahead. No matter the generation you are in, no matter your age, no matter your stage of life, there are great days ahead. And that is where you can find God. Ahead is there. Is there waiting for you. You know, in the game of soccer, I spoke about soccer again last week, you know, in the game, and I don't like soccer, funny enough. In the game of soccer, at least I know this one, we have defense positions, right? We have midfield, right? And then we have forward. We have forward. The goal of the guys playing the forward is for them to receive the ball so they can score. You won't see the forward going all the way to the back to go defend. No, that's not your place. Unless there is a penalty or something like that. No, even, I don't know. Anyway, so the forwards, they stay where? They stay forward to receive the ball so they can score the goal. Guess what? God is waiting for you at the forward position, saying, you come over here so I can help you fulfill purpose, so I can help you fulfill destiny. You come and meet me here in the great new days so I can help you achieve your goals. That's where he is. That's where he is. That's where he is. That's where he is. He's waiting for you. Waiting for you. At the revival night, we spoke about the things that stand in the way of our advancement. If you missed a message, please go listen to it. And I mentioned to us that we are here now. How do we go forward from here? I'm here now. How do I go forward from what? From here. Let's stop playing the blame game. The children of Israel, if they wanted to blame, they had people to blame. You could tell that it was even their nature. They know how to blame very well. You know, they had people to blame. They could have blamed their parents. They could have blamed, you know, their grandparents. Oh, you had 40 years to get into this promised land. Why did it take you, you have 40 days rather? Why did it take you, what? Why did it take you 40 years? Why did it take you 40 years? But no, they didn't do that. The walls of Jericho didn't come back. And they didn't go in telling the people, please, you know, we've been suffering a lot for 40 years. Don't mind our parents. You know, they did a lot of things. You know, just leave for us. Let's just settle there. No. They went in and they took the city. Stop the blame game. We are here now. How do we move forward from here? Stop procrastinating. A very popular one. It's like everyone knows that. But do we follow suit? Stop procrastinating. Oh, I will get to it. I will do it one day. I'm waiting to hear. I'm waiting for signs. Then I'm waiting for confirmation. Then I'm waiting to see God. I want to see him. I want to see him. You know, I'm waiting for this. Stop the waiting game. I mentioned that I believe that whenever the Lord pours out opportunities, he pours it on many people at the same time. The day that idea came into your heart was the same day someone else also received it. But the difference between the two of you is that 3 years later, you would see the idea and say, I thought of this thing 3 years ago. Ah, someone took my idea. No. Someone just moved forward with it while you stayed there with it. While you stayed there with it. Stop procrastinating. It's time for you to move forward. It's time for you to move what? Forward. There are things the Lord has placed in your heart. Ideas, visions, goals. Open those diaries. Get them off the shelf and begin to work on them. Stop giving yourself excuses. Well, I don't think I have time anymore. I don't have, you know, what it would cost. How about the part of the journey that is free? How about we start there? You must be forward thinking. You must have foresight. Think about the kind of life you envision for yourself, for your family, for your children. Think of your children. Think of generations down the line. Think of the kind of legacy you want to leave. When your name is mentioned, how do you want people to react? You must be what? Be forward thinking. Exodus 14, verse 15 to 16. Exodus 14, 15 to 16. Now we'll begin to wrap up here. It says that, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. To go what? Forward. It's in going forward that you will see the seas split. It's in going forward that you would receive the provision for the vision. It's in going forward that you will see victory. It's in going forward that you will see the Lord bring down the walls of Jericho. It's in going forward. I believe the Lord has great plans for you. I don't want you to miss out on them. just because you've refused to go forward. The Lord will never keep you stagnant. No. It's not in his nature. He is a God who wants you to be fruitful, to multiply in the things that he has given to you. So don't look back. Egypt is behind you. Lord is with you, moving you forward. In the name of Jesus, I declare over you this morning that you would go forward. Amen. Nothing would hinder your movement. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord will continue to make a way for you. It will continue to split the seas for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is well with you and everything concerning you. In Jesus' name we're praying. Amen. Amen. Give God praise. Hallelujah.